Warning: The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Witnesses have been sent here this morning to restore credibility to a discredited policy. We and the American people already know that the situation in Iraq is grim, and the growing majority of this Congress and of the American people want our troops out.
You get the picture of what's going on in our Congress, how they've lost control of the country, that they let somebody who belongs in a state mental hospital in a straitjacket into the congressional hearings, someone from a group called Code Stink, because they all stink as far as I'm concerned, pulling an hysterical fit that in my day would have wound her up with a billy club across the face, and then she would have been arrested for assaulting police as they threw her down a flight of stairs. What kind of country is this that an hysterical menopausal creep like her could go in there and scream like that? That's the kind of country you want to live in? And then you want a guy like Tom Lantos, a Holocaust survivor, getting up there and giving speeches that make your flesh crawl? Did you hear Tom Lantos today? It makes your flesh crawl, not only because of his pomposity and his arrogance and because of his professorial hatred for the United States military, but he has the audacity to make believe that he represents the American people when he does not, in fact. I want to tell you something. I watched General Petraeus today. And I was proud of him. And I watched the general take the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune from these slimy, backstabbing, anti-American scum called Democrats. I don't know how he took it so long. I don't know why he didn't stand up and strangle them with his own hands. I call it the show trial of General Petraeus. In the Soviet Union of the 1930s, members of the Communist Party who had fallen out of favor with Stalin were put through a public show trial. The authorities would predetermine the guilt of the accused, as they have here with General Petraeus, and the public would be presented with an accusation, a verdict, and a confession, after which the subject of the trial would be executed. The Democrats of today are exactly like the Soviets of yesterday. Massive state media campaigns accompanied these events in order to swing public opinion. I don't know if you know this, but a fetid anti-American group of vermin called MoveOn.org took out full-page ads over the last week that said General Petraeus' real name was General Betrayus. I want to remind you that during the Soviet era of show trials, massive campaigns in newspapers shaped the opinion of the public towards the cases. MoveOn.org is a Soviet-era group. Make no mistake about it. And yet it gets worse. Though the Soviet Union has fallen today, its hateful spirit lives on in the Democrats who rule Congress. Today, the show trial of General David Petraeus was witnessed on Capitol Hill. The worst of this attack was led by Tom Lantos, the wretched, decrepit, vampire-like inquisitor who loomed over Petraeus as he gave his testimony. At every opportunity, this vermin from San Mateo attacked the good general. At every opportunity, this verminous rat from Hungary attacked America. At every opportunity, he spewed bile against the men who defend us each day against the seething hatred of the Islamo-fascist. And this my friends, from Tom Lantos, a Holocaust survivor who fled to America as a boy. And all the while, as the vilest, most hateful words were cast at the leader of America's fighting men, planted political apparatchiks stood up at intervals in the hearing room to scream more insults at America. They were being dragged away only after they had had their chance to spew their leftist filth, as you heard from Code Stink. And so, though the Soviet Union has fallen, and though the Berlin Wall has fallen, though Stalin is dead, his spirit is alive and well in the loathsome, spiteful, evil questioning of General Petraeus by the Democrat Socialist Marxists of today. I'm Michael Savage. I stick by every word that I have just said. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. There are other stories. Today I received an email early in the morning. It's exclusive to michaelsavage.com. It's enough to make your flesh crawl. The headline on my website says, San Francisco won't permit U.S. Marines to film recruitment movie on the streets or on the Golden Gate Bridge. Wait till I read this to you. Today I personally spoke to Larry Kelly, who was the location manager for United States Marine Corps television commercial projects. He told me the following. One, he had been in conversation with Stephanie Coyote. That's apparently a relative of the fallen actor. This guy was nothing when he was something, Peter Coyote. But apparently he has a relative named Stephanie Coyote, who is apparently the executive director of a group called the San Francisco Film Commission, whatever that is, something Lenny Riefenstahl probably would understand. You see, the Marine Corps wanted to film a recruiting commercial on California Street, but this vile, anti-American creature called Stephanie Coyote refused to give the Marine Corps permission to film the commercial if they're going to be Marines on California Street. This filthy rat, Stephanie Coyote, thinks that she owns San Francisco. Wait, I'm going to tell you what you can do to get even with these vermin. These left-wing vermin, it's got to come to something already. It's enough already with this talk. It's too much talk. It's time for us to walk. We're going to walk all over them. I'm telling you, it's over. It gets worse. The Marine Corps had hoped to film a commercial with Marines on the pedestrian walkway on the Golden Gate Bridge. But the Golden Gate Bridge District Director of Public Affairs, some rat named Marie Curry, told Larry Kelly, quote, "Not on my bridge are you going to put your Marines." Not on my bridge? You think you own that, Mary? You'll find out you don't own that bridge, you piece of garbage, you! With our men and women of the Marine Corps and every other branch of the military currently serving our country in harm's way, the statements and conduct of these petty, filthy bureaucrats is especially egregious. Now, the San Francisco Film Commission meets on the fourth Monday of every month. They're meeting September 24th at 1400 hours. That's 2 o'clock, room 416 of City Hall. I want veterans to wear their uniform. I want families of currently serving troops to appear. And I want you to inform these filthy left-wing vermin that you also live in San Francisco, that their filthy Marxist behavior will not be tolerated. That a film commission is nothing. It's dreck. It's less than dreck. It's mayor. It's garbage. It's zero. They're nobody. They don't own this city. But because we have an addicted moron for a mayor, a psychological moron, an idiot addicted to his power structure, Gavin Newsom, a great mayor. The streets are filled with garbage and bums and junkies and pimps and murderers. And he dances off with one girlfriend after another. You tell me this is a city to be proud of? I could puke on these people, what they've done to this beautiful city. They didn't build it. They invaded this city and they destroyed it. I want everyone listening to this show, if you live in this area, you go down to that film commission and you tell them that you own this city, not them, and that you tell them that you're proud of the United States Marines. These are two topics that are very important. How do you feel about them? How do you feel about a group of petty bureaucrats who can't get a real job, who think that they're film experts because they sit on a film commission, saying to the U.S. Marines, you can't use our bridge. You can't use our streets to film a commercial. How do you feel about Tom Lantos, this pompous, elitist fraud from San Mateo, who makes the people down in there in San Francisco think he's a big, distinguished professor, Professor Lantos? There's a few skeletons in Lantos's closet, according to those who know the history of his fleeing his home country of Hungary. There's a few skeletons rattling around in old Professor Lantos's closet that would explain some of his pinko behavior. And now I'll take your calls. KNEW, San Francisco. Steve, you're on the Savage Nation.
I'm on next call. I'm waiting.
What did you All right, next case, we move on. Robert, WOR, New York, you're on the Savage Nation.
God bless you, Michael, I'll tell you. I'm a Korean War veteran, and don't ever stop going after these guys. This Lantos is a prime example of the scum that's representing the Democrat Party. And God help us if they take over. If they take over the
president. They are the appeasers, the type that would have appeased Hitler after Munich, after Hitler took Poland, after Hitler took Czechoslovakia. They would have done a deal with him. They are a clear and present danger to our survival. I don't know how the American people don't understand who they are, Robert. I don't understand how we can tolerate a group of sellouts. Do you know that the worst of them is this guy Kucinich? Do you know that Kucinich over the weekend flew to Syria and he had a meeting with the dictator of Syria? Do you know that?
You know, the sad part of it is, Michael, that if they do get in control, it's going to be too late because they're going to be taken over by these people before they have any chance to react. It's a damn shame. I was in Korea. I was in Hungnam. I was in Incheon. And I wonder now what I fought for.
What you fought for was to let perverts, communists, sex change artists, drug addicts take over the country. What you fought for was to let the lowest of the low put on a Pepsodent smile and put America into the most dangerous position it has ever been in. That's what you fought for. So that the lowest scum on the planet could become mayors and congressmen and senators. I'll be right back.
Savage.
In the last few days, General Petraeus, media have reported that you are prepared to support a slow drawdown.
Shut up, you rat commie. Get this rat commie Pinko off my show. He makes me want to vomit. You ought to go back to Hungary and open up a Burger King. Professor Lantos, you stink. You stink, you rat, you. You come here from another country. You flee Hitler, and this is what you do to the country. You put a knife in its back for 45 years. You stinking Pinko rat. Now it gets worse. The Golden Gate Bridge. They tell the U.S. Marines, you can't film on our bridge. You can't film on our bridge. Then they send a long letter right after I just said this, and they say to him, only one event is permitted per day by the district, and there was already a fully compliant event scheduled for the day that was desired by the USMC. So this is the same Golden Gate Bridge Authority that permits left-wing vermin to close the bridge down, permitted Jesse Jackson to close the bridge down, permits anti-war scum of the lowest order to close the bridge down, but won't give the Marines even 1 hour to film a recruitment movie on the Golden Gate Bridge. Screw all of you, you all. You, what a country you live in. You're so lucky you live in a free country. You really are. But you don't understand something. We know who you are. You have no honor. You have no honor whatsoever. And one day somebody in your own family will turn on you for what you're doing to this country. I can guarantee you that it'll be your child or your grandchild or your nephew or your niece. They will wake up and find out that despite all the perfume you put on your fetid being, you stink through and through, all of you. You left-wing phonies, you. One day, one of your young relatives is going to wake up to who you really are, and they're going to throw you out of your own family. They hate you, and they're going to hate you as they grow up and see what you've done to this country. Now, the question is, how could a woman who's in charge of the Golden Gate Bridge say that you can't film on their bridge? How is it possible that a stinking non-entity film council has somebody by the name of Something Coyote, and as far as I'm concerned, she should be forced to run naked with the coyotes in the park? That's what she's good for. And her husband could act in the same movie. How does she on the film council get to say to the U.S. Marine Corps, you're not filming on my street, it's my street? What kind of country is this? How could this be that the Marines can't film in San Francisco? How is this possible? Bruce in New York on WOR. How is this possible, Bruce, that something by the name of Coyote could do this?
Peter Coyote was a liberal in 1968. I met him as a bartender in a Sheraton in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. He was a communist back then. I don't know what happened to him, but the next thing I find him out acting in California, and his voice and his big ears, his voice is when you want to rip his throat out. He is liberal. He's a communist. He and this other musician were banned because of the fact that the McCarthy group found them out as being communist in 1958.
Well, I don't know about communists, but I do know that he is a terrible actor who hasn't had a good part in 20 years. He did one fairly good movie many years ago. Is he married to this creature who said you can't film on California Street?
Doctor, I don't know this. I know when he left Portland, Pennsylvania.
Well, you know, we got to thank God for small favors, Bruce, if he is married to this creature. You know what I'm saying? We got to thank God for small favors, don't we?
He lived in a commune with like three or four other women. Who was that wacky guy in California?
That wacky guy in California? You mean who's that not wacky guy in California? Me. Who's that wacky guy in California? This state has become so fetid, it's impossible to live in. But I don't want to go into the filth in the streets, the bums, the heroin needles, the crime, the homicides that they won't solve. You know, last night I was in North Beach in San Francisco, and there were a group of motorcycle cops, the SFPD. They're a great group of guys, and they were having a coffee or an ice cream outside a cafe, and I walked by. They didn't know me. I said, guys, Michael Savage. Well, they jumped up. They were my best friends, took pictures on their motorcycles. You know, the rank and file police in this city are some of the best men and women in the country. I got to tell you that. I'm not just saying it, Bruce. But they unfortunately are led by the worst anti-American pack of vermin this city has ever seen. It's one thing to be a Democrat. It's another thing to be a backstabbing anti-American hypocrite like these people are.
Doctor.
Thanks for the call. That's all. You know, there was a previous mayor by the name of Willie Brown. Willie Brown was a dyed-in-the-wool liberal. But I remember what Willie Brown said to me. He said, when I first came to office as the mayor of this city, the police were not sure about me. They didn't know where I stood. He said, I called the police in and I told them I backed them 100% in whatever they do. And he said, we got along for the entire tenure of my mayorship. That is a liberal. That is a liberal we can live with. But what we have now are not liberals. What we have now are mentally deranged progressives. They're non-American, they're un-American, they're internationalists, and they're a danger to your survival.
Savage.
That's the U.S. Congress under Nancy Pelosi. That's the sound of the Democrat Party. Normally that sound would have been heard in the back wards of mental hospitals across America. But, of course, the Democrats, consisting mainly of people who should be in mental hospitals, had their girlfriends in there, code pink. They let them in, of course. They let them in knowing they would do this. This is how they operated in the Soviet Union. We're a breath away from re-education camps under these vermin and these rats. Well, I want to read you an email I just got through a third party from the Golden Gate Bridge. This is from Mary Curry, the so-called public affairs director, who denied the U.S. Marine Corps the right to film a commercial on the bridge. She said she didn't do that at all. She said, thank you for contacting the Golden Gate Bridge. He's the facts as presented on Mr. Savage's website, michaelsavage.com, and likely by Mr. Savage himself and his radio show, are not accurate. And we want the opportunity to clarify the situation. All right, so she starts to clarify the situation. And she goes with a long roundabout double talk, and she says, we couldn't accommodate the Marines exactly as presented. We try to develop acceptable alternate filming locations. And she says, we understand the Marine Corps has now received a permit to film from a beautiful waterfront location directly adjacent to the bridge. And the bridge will feature prominently in the commercial. In other words, they put him out in Siberia, down on a beach somewhere, but not on the sacred Golden Gate Bridge. That's reserved for all of the left-wing scum. That's reserved for Jesse Jackson to take over. That's reserved for the code stinkers. They can march on it whenever they want. And these very same rats who run it, let them march and close down traffic. Or perhaps the bicyclists you let block the access to the bridge and you won't lift a finger. But the U.S. Marine Corps, they're not good enough for you. It goes on. She says, here are the reasons why we could not give permission to the Marines. One, now listen to this. Here's a real whopper. She says, guns of any kind, whether fake or real, are not allowed on the bridge property. The U.S. Marine Corps did not want to film without the rifles present. Liar, liar, your pants are on fire, Mary. What do you mean guns of any kind are not permitted? Who do you think you're talking to? Do you think people are all that stupid? Lawfully armed federal, state, local, and military agencies use the bridge on a daily basis. They're the people who protect you. Who do you think you're talking to? What do you think? You're in a college now giving everybody double talk? Weapons are not allowed on the bridge. The police use them. You then say that you couldn't reroute the traffic during the rush hour. And you said that Mr. Kelly wanted to film in the early morning during the commute hours. You say that the district's highest priority is the safe travel of vehicles. Really, how come you haven't put a median barrier on the bridge for 10 years now? If the district's highest priority is the safe travel of vehicles, how come you permit cars to speed at each other at 60 miles an hour without a safety barrier? Is it that the money that you spent studying the issue went up in smoke at meetings in Tokyo and Brussels? Where did that money go, the millions of dollars that your district got to study a barrier on the Golden Gate Bridge? Where did all that study money go? Who took it? Up whose noses did that money go, Miss Curry? You then said only one event is permitted per day by the district, and there was already a fully compliant event schedule for the day. You are really kidding me. You then conclude by saying that the district is a public agency that cannot approve or deny a permit for filming or any form of expressive activity based on the content of that activity. You're absolutely right. She says it would not be accurate to state that the district denied the filming permit requested because of its content. You're double-talking and you're lying. And I pray to God that there's an investigation and they find out that you did deny the Marine Corps the desire to film on the bridge because specifically there's an anti-military element in the bridge district itself. Shame on you, Mary Curry. Were it not for the United States Marines, you wouldn't be there and I wouldn't be here. Shame on you. Shame on you and shame on the entire Golden Gate Bridge District for hijacking this beautiful landmark owned by the American people for your own personal fiefdom. Houston, Texas, Tom, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael, as far as I'm concerned, I think all branches of the military should be allowed to film anywhere in the country, as far as I'm concerned.
They wanted to film on the bridge on 9/11, and for good reason. They're doing a recruitment commercial. Let me ask you something. If you were driving to work on September 11th, tomorrow morning, and you saw 50 Marines marching on that bridge, drilling, don't you think that the people would have stopped and cheered and saluted? Isn't that exactly what would have happened? That's the reason that Mary Curry didn't want the Marines on the bridge. She didn't want to be embarrassed by patriotism. Because you see, my friend, in San Francisco, there's only one crime. And there's one crime above all crimes. And that crime is patriotism. It's considered a crime unto itself. KNEW, San Francisco. Debbie, you're on the Savage Nation.
This morning, as I was getting ready for work, I was listening to Tom Lantos pontificate in that committee. My stomach actually turned. I was getting sick to my stomach. This was
me too. What was it about Lantos in particular that made your flesh crawl?
The fact that he came here to live from another country under Hitler, the fact that he actually was talking to a four-star general, a man who has given his entire life to the commitment of our military, who's leading our men and women in Iraq right now, and calling him a liar. Actually,
he treated General Petraeus as though he were an usher in a movie theater. Lantos is a piece of garbage. He's a filthy pinko from Hungary, and he ought to go back where he came from.
Thing is, the people of San Mateo County should be appalled and ashamed of themselves. It's one thing to be a Democrat, like you said. It's one thing to vote that way. But this man is anti-American. They should be ashamed of himself, of themselves, for even voting him.
Oh, they love Tom Lantos. They love old Congressman Lantos. They think he's a true victim and a distinguished professor from Stanford. But we know otherwise. We know what this Tom Lantos is all about. And one day somebody will uncover those skeletons in his closet. He's not going to skate for his entire life under that guise of being so holy. I saw that man, and I heard his voice. I wanted to break the television set. There's something particularly egregious about Tom Lantos that's very hard for me to put my finger on. Or shall I say, I don't want to put my finger on it. Do you know what I'm talking about? Listen to clip 10 now.
The administration's myopic policies in Iraq have created a fiasco.
Turn them off. Maybe it's something about the accent itself that sounds like two boots clicking against each other. You know, Los Angeles, Michael, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, I just wanted to ask you. They filmed a movie about suicide on the Golden Gate Bridge in 2004. I won't give the title out, but they filmed, I believe it was 21 suicides on the Golden Gate Bridge. And they won't let the Marines film an advertisement?
Well, I think that your statement speaks for itself. It shows you the priorities of Mary Curry, the public affairs director, that she would permit people to film a movie about suicide on the bridge, but not a movie about national pride in the form of the U.S. Marine Corps in a recruiting film. You know, she ought to be fired for this. She's just the patronage appointee anyway of one of the wonderful commissioners on that the bridge board district. That's all she is. It's a patronage position. But my God, she's a disgrace. And by the way, Mary, if you're listening to the show, you can call this program right now at 1-800-449-8255. You can come before several million American people across the country, and you can explain yourself. Maybe we have it wrong. I'm giving you the opportunity to explain why you turned the Marines down and why you'd permit a suicide film, a snuff film, to be filmed on your bridge. And while you're at it, explain to us why you let Jesse Jackson lead a group of anti-war protesters across that bridge a number of years ago. And while you're at it, Mary, in the Golden Gate Bridge District, explain to us why you let bicyclists from so-called critical mass tie up the Golden Gate Bridge entrance once a month. Explain that to the American people, because we're all ears. KNEW, Chris, go ahead, please.
I'm appalled that the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridges won't let a federal institution, in this case the Marine Corps, shoot a commercial at a federal landmark. This makes no sense.
Well, you got to understand, this bridge has been stolen from the people by a group called the Golden Gate Bridge District. They run tolls on it. Nobody knows where the money goes. Nobody knows how it's being spent. There's no accountability whatsoever. Just as the budget of San Francisco, there is no accountability for that. We have the dirtiest streets in the country. We have a city that's out of control with homeless bums, with homicides, and they answer to nobody. So the problem is that there's nobody in charge, Chris.
Yeah, you know, Michael.
Yeah, I know. Trust, I know. I know very well. Rooney, Hartford, Connecticut, you're on the Savage Nation.
God bless you, Michael Savage, for being the only voice to not tell it like it is, but scream it like it is. We are...
Well, I do the best I can, but it's reaching a point of critical mass. I'm going to have to leave this area. You know, I've enjoyed it for all these years, but the dirt, the perversion, the drug usage, the twisted mentality of the Democrats who run this place is worse than it's ever been in the history of the years. I've always known it was left-wing, and I could live with that, but it's never been this sick and perverse and anti-American as it is now. And by the way, and corrupt. It is the most corrupt area in the entire country.
Washington, there's another corrupt area, and you're talking about two groups there today. One I could call the Code Pinkos, and those are the crazies that invaded that session. But the other,
how did the Code Pinkos get into the congressional hearing, do you think? You think they went in by accident? You're telling me the Democrats didn't know him, like Ackerman, Ackerman from New York? You're telling me Ackerman and his buddettes didn't know that they were coming in there? They were wearing pink, for God's sakes. How did they get in the congressional door?
I was born at night, but not last night. No,
Thank you.
Were invited in by Pelosi, Reed, Leahy, Kennedy, and Santos. Lantos.
Did you hear what that psychopathic woman was screaming on the way out? I'm 50 years old. I know what I'm doing. It was the voice of the insane asylum. It was a cathedral. The Creedmoor Mental Hospital in New York needs to be reopened for Code Pink. Play that sound for the people so they know what we're talking about. This went on in your Congress today. Hold it. No, that is not Dianne Feinstein being denied a hamburger. It is not Barbara Boxer being denied a bagel. It is not Nancy Pelosi being denied more pork fat. It is a member of Code Stinko. Play it again, Sam.
Let me make this announcement that those who have caused unlawful conduct
to speak out? You're acting out pretty good, huh? What a family you must have come from, huh? Okay, turn him. I'll tell you, when I watched this, I was praying to see a nightclub smashing against a forehead. I was praying for a cop to finally take control of this country. From the top to the bottom, you got these half, these men, they're not there. Where are, who are they? What are they doing here? Bush comes out like a puppet from behind the scenes, but it pops out like a marionette, gives another crappy little speech about the war, and boom, the puppet's back in the box. And then you got this going on in the United States Congress. This country cannot stand much longer because there's nobody in charge. There's no central government anymore. There's just a centralized lobbying group called the United States Congress. It's not a body that represents the people. Tell me that this Congress represents the people. Show me how it represents the people in any way, shape, or form. Each one of them fundamentally is a lobbyist put there by special interests. They wouldn't stay there one day if they weren't paying back their student loans, if you know what I mean. Their student loans were the campaign monies that they raised to become a congressman or a senator. Now, you're telling me Dianne Feinstein, who spent $30 million to become a senator, is living on $200,000 a year? Of course not. You're telling me that one of the richest women in the Senate, Dianne Feinstein, with one of the wealthiest men in the world as her husband, did not steer contracts to him over a period of 2 to 3 years? Why, even Code Stinko said so. But it got nowhere because the fetid, rotten, stinking Soviet newspaper in the Bay Area, run by Phil Brownnose, Phil Brownstein, whatever his name is, I can never remember his name. The paper stinks. I wouldn't even use it to clean up my dog's feces. This newspaper would not run the story that even the left wing was trying to say that Dianne Feinstein is a war profiteer. No, all the news that fits to stink is what goes into that one. Let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. KNEW, San Fran Stinko, Claxton, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead, please.
About this, the troops, you know, on the bridge. I think it's like pretty disgusting that this coyote lady will not let the men and women.
Well, the coyote lady is the one on the San Francisco Film Commission, don't you know, because she comes from a famous family. Her husband acted in a movie in 1974. That's who goes on film commissions, people who don't have real jobs. And she's the one who said you can't film on California Street. She said you're not filming on my California Street. You hear this?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but you're telling me that the mayor disagrees with any Tusum Newsom?
I mean,
yeah, any Tusum Newsom. N-O-O-S-E-M. Any Tusum, he'll Newsom. Any Tusum is good for him because he'll Newsom. He'll Newsom together and he'll give him a marriage license. Chris, KNEW, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you very much. The problem came from Arnold Schwarzenegger, in my opinion, when anti-Tusum Newsom started marrying gay people. Arnold Schwarzenegger should have stepped in and said, not so fast. You are not able to send out...
But Schwarzenegger is a Democrat. Schwarzenegger is a Democrat married to Marie Shriver. He's married into the Kennedy family. We know that he's not a conservative in any measure. We understand that Schwarzenegger is not the real stuff. There's no beef there. It's just two buns. I'll be right back. Savage.
If it takes another 4 years, and if it is that we spend during that time another 4,000 American lives, create another 20,000 plus people maimed for life, spend another $600 billion.
Shut up, Ackerman. Go back to Brooklyn. Get him off my show. Ackerman, Democrat, New York. Another 4,000 American lives. And he's insulting the general, as you well know. The general was just shocked by it. Because he said, of all the people that you've talked to, he said, Mr. Ackerman, who was more conscious of the maiming and the killing of the troops, but he's basically saying it's me, not you. This is the problem here. This is the problem here, is that you have an appeasement party that had they been in power in 1939, you'd be speaking German or you'd be a lampshade. If this group of Democrats, these drug-addicted, perverted psychos, were in power in 1939 to 1940, while Hitler was taking over one country after another, they would have appeased him one country after another, just as Jimmy Carter appeased the Soviet Union, just as Gerald Ford appeased the Soviet Union. These people are now appeasing the Islamofascists. Make no mistake about it, the situation is quite grave. Over the weekend, they watched a documentary that my friend had made called The Face of Evil about Ronald Reagan. Now, normally I could watch a documentary for 10, 15 minutes. I couldn't take my eyes off it because it was all about how Ronald Reagan understood that the beast had arisen in World War II. But the beast didn't just have the face of Hitler. The beast was also Stalin. The beast was also Stalin. And you know, what you people don't understand yet is that fascism comes in many different forms. Right now, you're witnessing left-wing fascism at work in cahoots with the United States.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Escalation in our military presence in Iraq may have produced some tactical successes. But strategically, the escalation has failed. It was intended to buy time for Prime Minister Maliki and the other Iraqi political leaders to find ways to move toward
You pinko. Go back to Hungary. Go back where you came from. Have you no shame, Lantos? You know what I have for you in the archives? It's Joe Welch at the McCarthy hearings when he says to the senator, McCarthy, who was right all along, by the way, turned out in later archives, particularly the Venona papers, which were released about 10 years ago, that everything that the Senator McCarthy, the so-called McCarthyites, McCarthyism, he was 100% right. The communists were in very high places in America. But nevertheless, the phrase McCarthyism has a meaning. We are now witnessing through Lantos McCarthyism. So listen what went on back then during McCarthy's hearings. Listen to 03.
Let us not assassinate this lad further, Senator. You've done enough. Have you no sense of decency, sir? At long last, have you left no sense of decency?
This is directed at Lantos, Gary Ackerman, Reid, Pelosi, the entire pack of left-wingers. Have you no sense of decency, sir and madam? At long last, have you left no sense of decency? Of course, the times are different. They'd laugh at somebody who asks them if they have a sense of decency. So, as I said to you over the weekend, I was watching this videotape, this documentary on Ronald Reagan that my friend had done. Great documentary filmmaker, by the way. And there was some archival footage in there of what the Soviets had actually done to people. There was maybe a second, a millisecond, that they got out of Pathé News or somewhere, of people in slave labor camps with barbed wire around their body being forced to haul logs while naked. Now, I know about the horrors of Joseph Stalin. I know some of them because I've read history. Mao Tse-tung killed 60 million fellow Chinese either through starvation, torture, or outright murder. And yet you have these deranged code pinkers who scream blood-curdling screams as they're being let out of a hearing that they interrupted, as though they're being tortured in a Soviet gulag. It shows you that liberalism is a mental disorder. It has no sense of itself, no sense of history. It's pure narcissism. It's pure feminism. It's pure pacifism. It's pure pinkoism. You should see the things that were done to people by the Japanese in the rape of Nanking. I saw another 2 seconds of the footage there on the, in the Reagan story. He understood what the beast was. And so the documentary filmmaker said the beast had been loosed upon the world. And then they show men pulling logs naked with barbed wire around their body, pulling logs with the barbed wire as a harness. That's what the Soviets did to their enemies. It showed what the Japanese did when they broke into Nanking, taking whole hosts of Chinese people. And while they were alive, pushing them into open graves with bulldozers while they were holding their babies, burying them alive. You know, you probably haven't seen any of this. This should be required viewing, this this documentary. Drew, get me the documentary from the shelf over there. I want to read it to the people. It's so good. I think it's called The Face of Evil. It was just so unbelievable. But then Reagan came along. In the face of evil, Reagan's war in word and deed, winner of the 2004 Best Documentary. Evil is powerless if the good are unafraid. And the filmmaker came up, and you should see Reagan in here, how they try to trivialize him. They called him a reactionary. They called him dangerous. They called him everything they call me. Everything they say about me, they said about Ronald Reagan. They try to marginalize him. They still deny that he broke communism. See, when he came along, he decided the way to break communism was to outspend them militarily and break their economy, which is what he did. What we have now are Democrats trying to break us emotionally and psychologically so that the other side wins. Not so much because Lantos, Ackerman, Reid, and Pelosi want the other side to win as much as they want George Bush to lose. But at the end of the day, the friend of my enemy is my enemy. And if the Democrat Party are such good friends of my enemy, Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of my time, they are my enemy. Make no mistake about it, they're your enemy too. So in this documentary, In the Face of Evil, which we should get for later in the week, I'll have it cut up in some sound bites, Reagan's War in Word and Deed. It's astounding how inspirational Ronald Reagan really was and how he really grasped it all and how they thought he was a clown and an actor. His critics sneered and they jeered and they ridiculed him. They called him a simpleton. But he had very simple ideas, didn't he? That freedom will defeat tyranny, that the evil are powerless if the good are unafraid, and that courage is the fulcrum that moves history. Ronald Reagan liberated an entire continent of 1 billion people. They diminished Ronald Reagan by calling him the great communicator. That means somebody could deliver a terrific speech. Now, that is true, he was a great communicator, but that label does not do Ronald Reagan any justice. It's actually an insult to him. That would be like saying Michael Savage is a great entertainer, or even a good entertainer. He's simply an entertainer. But Reagan was more than a great speaker. He was a rare public leader. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said, unlike George Bush. He said what he meant, and he said what he meant. And that's why we remember Ronald Reagan. And as you know, in the 19th century, Abraham Lincoln became known as the Great Emancipator. Near the end of the 20th century, Ronald Reagan really became what he was, which is the great liberator, not the great communicator. In the words of Margaret Thatcher, Reagan won the Cold War without firing a shot. Remember, more than 1 billion people now live in freedom, where otherwise they would be living under the vice grip of the tyranny of the ex-Soviet Union. In Russia, in Poland, in Hungary, in Czechoslovakia, where there was a secret police that struck fear in the minds of people who spoke out. There is now freedom of expression, freedom of religion, and the simple freedom of leaving the country to visit sites in the West. And yet we take these freedoms for granted today. And yet right here in San Francisco, we have the very same Soviet system, way beyond its infancy, already into its young childhood. You have supervisors in this city who are exactly like the Soviet apparatchiks, the Soviet functionaries of the ex-Soviet system. If they don't like you, they deny you free speech. They smear you with the newspaper owned by the Hearsts. Or worse yet, they sick mentally ill people on you in your driveway who put feces in your driveway in a can, and then they don't prosecute the man who does it. They say they're powerless to do it. Make no mistake about it. The city of San Francisco is a city ruled by pure, unadulterated evil. And they're a microcosm of what's coming to this country. These are little, tiny Bolsheviks who have seized power and stolen a city from the good people who built it. They're not yet at the level of the Red Terror of 1918, where police rounded up and executed opponents. Oh, no, but they're about 1917, 1916, where the Bolsheviks seized power. But if you don't know much of the history of the Soviet Union, I can't explain it to you. You have to see what they did to people rather than hear what they did to people. You've got to see people being forced to pull logs while they are naked in Siberia wearing barbed wire harnesses. And believe me, they would pull that log because they'd rather live than die. That's the end result of the Soviet system. That's where the Democrats are dragging us right now. Step by step, day by day, drip, 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 inch by inch, they're dragging us into the ex-Soviet system. Now, I understand you can be against the war and you could say that it's ineffectual and it's not being pursued right, because I feel exactly the same way. It is ineffectual because the power structure is ineffectual. It is ineffectual, this war, because Bush is the problem, not the solution. It is ineffectual not because of General Petraeus, but because of George Bush, who obviously does not know how to be a commander-in-chief. He puts his men in harm's way. Unnecessarily, in my opinion. I've told you over and over again, as an armchair general, I've never seen a war. I've never read about a war being fought like this. You go in and you smash the enemy in a stronghold with air power, tanks, then you bring in the men to mop up. Right now, George Bush is using our men to get mopped up rather than to mop up. And it's heartbreaking to watch our men getting mopped up with IEDs and things of that nature when there's no necessity for this whatsoever. It's bad enough that the men have to face this on the battlefield, but to see them facing it in Congress today with the disgrace of Tom Lantos, a refugee from the Holocaust, of all people, undermining the military like this with that pompous, arrogant, professorial tone of his, it's enough to make your flesh crawl. This is the Savage Nation. We're talking about the show trial of General Petraeus today, the shame of the Democrats who cut off General Petraeus' microphone. They killed his microphone for 10 minutes saying it was a glitch, but they did it to unnerve him, just as the ex-Soviet Union did. And listen, I know the tactics. I've read them. The ex-Soviets would cut off the microphone of their opponents during a debate. That's when they permitted debates at all. The microphones would mysteriously go off. It happened today to Petraeus. That won't be reported tonight, by the way, by MSNBC, because they're all part and parcel of the same vile, nascent Soviet machine that's been emerging in the United States of America. But there are other stories. San Francisco's so-called film commission, a group of losers who can't get a real job, have denied the U.S. Marines the right to film a recruitment video on California Street. Some creature by the name of Coyote saying, "Not on my street will you film," according to what I have received. The Golden Gate Bridge District, this is a bridge not owned by anybody, has denied the U.S. Marines access to the Golden Gate Bridge to film a commercial on it, saying that there were scheduling difficulties, traffic was a problem, they never permit guns on the bridge property. It's unbelievable, the lies. The lies of the Bolsheviks are overwhelming. And how these liars get away with it is not surprising to me. They get away with it because nobody is in charge. We don't have a Harry Truman, do we, who says the buck stops here. A take charge haberdasher from Missouri who rolled up his sleeves and said the buck stops here. Now, that was a Democrat. That's when the word Democrat had pride attached to it. These are not Democrats. Make no mistake about it. This pack of pinkos are not Democrats by any way, shape, or form. They are apparatchiks of a internationalist, socialist movement. That is who they are, that is what they are, and that's what they sound like, and that's what they're doing. Now, I've said enough on this. The show trial of General Petraeus will live in infamy, what they did today. And I want to repeat again that what you saw today and what you will be seeing tonight in the news, if you watch it for a few minutes, when poor General Petraeus had to face these cowards who ripped him to shreds, turned off his microphone, and then try to debase this man has a history. This is called a show trial. And for those of you who don't know what I'm referring to, the show trial is a pejorative description of a type of highly public trial. And this was first recorded in the 1930s in the Soviet Union, where the judicial authorities had already determined the guilt of the defendant, and the actual trial had its only goal to present the accusation and the verdict to the public as an impressive example and a warning. That's what Lantos and Ackerman and the other vermin did today. Show trials are retributive rather than correctional in their nature. And there is no jurisprudence. There's no respect even for the letter of the law in a show trial. The Democrats today indulged in a vile form of show trial. And yet, these show trials were a very significant part of Joseph Stalin's regime. The Moscow trials of the Great Purge period in the Soviet Union were characteristic. They were called show trials. The authorities like Lantos, like Ackerman and the others today, not only predetermined the guilt of the defendants, in this case Petraeus, but they also orchestrated the entire trial process. How did they do it? By massive campaigns in newspapers and at numerous meetings shaping the opinion of the public toward the cases. And so for the last week, this vile un-American group, MoveOn.org, took out full-page ads in the New York Times and in other vile publications calling him General Petraeus. Tactics right out of the ex-Soviet Union. Know your history. For as Santayana, the Spanish philosopher, wrote, those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. My friends, my listeners, you are going to repeat the history of the ex-Soviet Union with re-education camps and with death camps unless you stop these vile pinkos now. I'll be back.
Savage.
The Bay Area of San Francisco and America is buzzing about the letter we received today that the Marine Corps wanted a film on the Golden Gate Bridge, and they were denied access by the Golden Gate Bridge Highway and Transportation District, who denies that they did so. Joining us right now is Mary Curry, Public Affairs Director of the Golden Gate Bridge Highway and Transportation District, for her side of the story. Ms. Curry, thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah.
So what you're saying, that they were given access to the bridge?
No, what I'm saying is that Larry Kelly did contact us in early August inquiring about a potential filming permit, as I get inquiries every day for potential filming permits, and he wanted to film on a weekday, and he wanted to film during our peak commute hours. And according to our master ordinance, we do not let filming occur that's visible to traffic during peak commute hours.
Then why has the bridge district, to be fair to this discussion, permitted protesters to take over this bridge in the past?
I'm sorry?
You heard me. Why has the district permitted protesters to march across this bridge and take it over in the past?
They've done it in the time and the manner which we request them to do. Jesse Jackson, for example, has crossed this bridge several times on the sidewalk, and he's done it on a Sunday morning at 7 o'clock.
So in other words, Jesse Jackson is welcome on the Golden Gate Bridge, but not the United States Marine Corps?
Because he did it at the time that was the least hazardous in terms of the roadway traffic.
I see. But in your letter, you say that guns of any kind, whether fake or real, are not allowed on the bridge property. You can't really mean that, can you?
That is true.
That is true? Well, what about the locally armed state, federal law enforcement officials who use the bridge daily? They go there unarmed?
Savage.
It is a Savage Nation, coast to coast. We're all talking about a number of things, one of which is that the Golden Gate Bridge Authority said to the U.S. Marine recruitment film person that you can't use the bridge on a certain day and a certain time. And we have with us now Mary Curry with the Golden Gate Bridge Authority. Mary, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, thank you.
So are you suggesting that had the Marines accommodated your need for scheduling, you would have granted them permission? If they had said Sunday, you would have said yes?
If they wanted to work with us on the time and manner of such an event, we would have agreed to a permit. But I want to talk about the guns again for a second. The way that we were looking at the guns is that they would be a big distraction to traffic. And we see them as a prop, like we see a sign or a banner from war
posts. So in other words, to you, the U.S. Marines and carrying guns is a prop? You can't separate the U.S. Marines from a film crew?
Now, let me finish. We do not allow...
Wait a minute. You just finished. You said that you can't have anyone with guns on the bridge. But that's patently false. You have guns on the bridge every day. Local, state, federal law enforcement, military... all use that bridge every day. So why would the U.S. Marine Corps, which is a Marine Corps after all, they're not a bunch of actors, why would them having guns frighten you?
Because it's about traffic distraction. That's all this is about. It's that simple. It's about distracting traffic.
I see. It's traffic. So they wanted to use this bridge as a prop on September 11th, didn't they?
You cannot use a sign or a banner out on our bridge. It distracts traffic and creates accidents. It happens all
the time. Isn't it true that they wanted to use September 10th or 11th as the days to film this commercial?
The 9th or the 10th. They were very inflexible. They went back and forth a million times on what date they wanted, what times they wanted. They never could pin it down.
Well, wait. According to your letter, it says the dates on which this would happen would have been either September 10th or 11th. That's what you, in your own writing, it says.
I don't know which particular writing you're looking at. We decided...
I'm looking at your email, Mary Curry to Patrick Geiger, September 10th, Monday, September 10th, that's today, 12:22 p.m., regarding United States Marine Corps television commercial project. And you said that the dates would have been either September 10th or 11th during commute hours. You also say that the Marines suggested doing the same event on the sidewalks next to the roadway rather than on the roadway itself. So Mr. Kelly was willing to accommodate your needs, wasn't he?
He wanted to close the roadway, which is something we do not do. So I said we needed to try to do it on the sidewalk. And then they told me about the 50 people with the guns, and we can't do that during commute. The traffic would stop.
So you would have found it offensive for the traffic to have stopped on September 11th if people would have stopped to salute the U.S. Marines who are fighting and dying for our freedoms?
It's not offensive to me. Personally at all. I am the spokesperson for the agency. The agency has a master ordinance. That master ordinance controls the time of day, the manner and duration of all filming and special event activities. And I represent the 19-member board that creates
Yes, but we well, yeah, Mary, I understand all of this, but we also know San Francisco is a biased, radical left-wing city with politics that don't match that of the United States of America. They act almost as though they're a country unto themselves, in an embarrassing way, by the way, as a person who lives here and loves the area very much. You're telling me that you couldn't have bent slightly for the U.S. Marine Corps and treated them a little differently, particularly around September 11th?
You wouldn't have gotten
a quorum on that?
No, we don't bend for Jesse Jackson. We don't bend for anybody.
You don't bend for Jesse Jackson. They almost closed that bridge down. I remember when he took over that bridge, when he marched with school children. What do you mean you don't bend for him? Come on.
On the sidewalk, and he was within the parameters of our permit process. And that's
I see. So it's all following the rules, in other words. That's what it was. You have nothing against the U.S. Marine Corps, only that they didn't follow the rules?
They did not want to be flexible and try to work with our time, manner, and duration. We have absolutely no issue with the Marines whatsoever. And we're going to go out and meet them tomorrow because they are filming right next to the bridge. I offered them...
No, let's not bend the story here. They're filming on a beach way down below the bridge, not because they wanted to be there. Basically, you put them in Siberia. All they could do was get a stock shot of the bridge in their background. Come on, let's be fair to the discussion. This is a huge black eye for the Golden Gate Bridge District. There's no explaining this away. All we know, the take-home message, is that the Bridge District said yes to Jesse Jackson and no to the U.S. Marines. That's all we know.
Marines filming coordinator was inflexible. Larry Kelly represented this in an inflexible way, every step of the way.
Okay, so it's his fault.
I don't know if it's nobody's fault. The Marines had a schedule.
You said he's inflexible and that the Marines couldn't come on the bridge with any guns.
We're on a tight schedule.
Would they have been able to march and film if they carried broomsticks but not guns or wooden guns? Would they have worked?
Absolutely not. We do not allow props, banners, or signs carried by anybody crossing the Golden Gate Bridge on the sidewalk. And we do
even
not-
the United States Marines, even in a time like this when men are fighting and dying and the Marines are taking the brunt of the injuries and deaths in Iraq, you don't see that as a special case?
No. If we made
well, that's your. I think you're being inflexible now. I think you're acting. I think you're acting as a pure bureaucrat who's saying you're only following the rules. That's what you're saying, is we're only following the rules. You and I both know rules can be altered according to the needs of the people. And I would say that September 11th is a very emotional day for the American people. Surely the Bridge District recognizes they live in the United States of America, and what significance September 11th has both for the San Francisco Bay Area and for the country.
You wouldn't believe how freaked out people are here when they used to see the National Guard out here with one rifle, one person. People were freaked out.
What do you mean, who, Code Pink? You're letting a few whack jobs determine how your bridge behaves? Why don't you listen to the people who built this city and the people who pay the taxes instead of these far-left whack jobs who seem to have your attention?
They're following the time, manner, and duration permit requirements. The Marines...
Yes, I know. You're only following orders, I understand. You're simply following orders.
...want to fit into our...
Right.
Niche.
You're only following orders. I get it. You're a good American. You're just following orders. Is that correct? Well, I still think that this is an embarrassment for the Golden Gate Bridge District and for San Francisco. And the take-home message, so far as I can tell, is that Jesse Jackson, yes, U.S. Marine Corps, no. You have the last word, though. Go ahead, please.
That's not the take-home message. The take-home message is the Golden Gate Bridge has policies, and it's all about safety on this bridge when motorists are crossing it, and we can't allow signs, banners, or any prop whatsoever, whether it be a real gun or a not real gun or a broomstick.
What about an American flag? Is that considered a poster?
They're not allowed either.
Oh, now we see the true colors of the Golden Gate Bridge District. No guns for the Marines. No flags. I get it. How about the rainbow flag? What if 1,000 gays wanted to march along there on Gay Day with a rainbow flag? Would you have prohibited that, or would you prohibit that?
You can carry a small flag. I was wrong. I forgot. We changed that. You can carry a small flag. I apologize.
Anyone can, or only the rainbow flag people?
Not traffic distraction. Have you ever crossed this bridge when there's something going on that distracts the traffic?
Well, I wouldn't consider the U.S. Marines marching on the bridge on September 11th a distraction personally, but that's my orientation. I would find it an honor to see the U.S. Marines on the Golden Gate Bridge on September 11th compared with the garbage I have to put up with in this city. But then again, you're a brave lady for at least coming here and explaining your position, and I salute you for doing it.
And I'm back at you. Thank you
so much. Well, there it is. 1-800-449-8255. We're going to go to Duncan Hunter in a moment. Is he with us or available? Mr. Duncan Hunter, Congressman, wonderful man. He stood up to these pinkos today at the hearings. Duncan Hunter, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, how are you doing?
Duncan, Mr. Hunter, Congressman Hunter, I saw you today and I was impressed with your dignity. I got to tell you that. How you stood and listened to Lantos. I know you wouldn't put down a fellow congressman, but truthfully, he was in the gutter today. It embarrassed me to watch him. Why did he have to go out of his way to conduct a Soviet-style show trial of General Petraeus? I'll never understand. They took a good man like this and put him through a predetermined trial where he was guilty before he even opened his mouth.
Well, you know, the real plan was to prepare the battlefield all of last week. We actually had hearings last week, and what I didn't expect, because I know Tom Lantos, we've been friends, California colleagues for a long time, but he said last week in the hearing that the statement that General Petraeus made today would not be his own statement. It would be written by political operatives. And that's about the ultimate insult that you can give an American military leader who was asked to give his best assessment of what's happening in a warfighting theater where people are being killed.
You're right. General Petraeus was treated like an usher in a movie theater by Lantos. It was disgusting, and it was right out of the Soviet Union. I know you don't want to say those words, and I don't even think you'd agree with me, but I see it that way. They wanted him to confess to a crime he didn't commit before he even walked through that door. Congressman, tell me about those code stinkos who were in there. How did they get in there?
Well, I don't know how the protesters. The problem is you have to keep the door open for so many members of the public, and the idea is that the public come in, and that rule has been exploited by folks that want to come in. The so-called pink ladies who come in and leap up at intervals and shriek and scream. But you know, Michael, I come from California. Ronald Reagan used to say if he didn't have demonstrators, he'd rent them. I think we were able to keep that hearing going fairly well today. And you know something? Let me tell you.
But wait, Congressman, wait a minute. You know that Code Pink are troublemakers. You heard her screaming. She belonged in a mental asylum, in my opinion, not in the floor of the U.S. Congress during a hearing as important as this. Why was she permitted in when they're known agitators? Can't you block people who are known troublemakers?
Yeah, actually, the folks who were in there were fairly low-level folks who were anonymous till they leaped up and started shrieking.
But wait, they were wearing pink outfits. Didn't they come in pink?
Well, they came in pink, but they weren't.
Well, you know, Congressman, you're a better man than I because you have more trust in human beings than I do. I believe that they were put in there by the Democrats in order to embarrass the Republicans and General Petraeus. But let's go to the next embarrassment today. That embarrassment was the microphone for General Petraeus was suspiciously off for a good number of minutes when he started to speak. How did that happen?
Yeah. Michael, you got me. Not only was his mic off, some of the members' mics were off. I think when we had 300 press guys come through that room, I think they were kicking cords left and right. So,
all right. Let me clear this up because I tend to think a little bit in a certain direction. You say some congressmen and women's mics were turned off. Was that across the board Democrat and Republican, or was it limited to the Republican side only?
Looked to me like it was all the first row, which was Democrats and Republicans.
All right, fair enough. I move along then to the other issue, which is the show trial aspects of the hearing today. You raised up a newspaper ad that was taken by this vile anti-American group, MoveOn.org, for over a week now, saying that his name was General Petraeus, not General Petraeus. This is an orchestrated campaign that, again, Congressman, is identical to the massive state media campaigns that accompanied show trials in the Soviet Union in the 1930s in order to sway public opinion. This didn't happen by accident, in my opinion, where ads calling him General Petraeus came out before he even spoke. Would you like to address that point?
Yeah. Well, listen, you know that MoveOn.org is a hard left-wing organization. They're embraced by the Democrats when they're moving the Democrat ball down the football field and getting close to the goal line. I think they went too far today. I think they splashed a lot of problems back on the Democrats. And you know, the Democrats have been pretty smart about splitting this issue down the middle, pounding on the president, but constantly saying we still love the troops. When they went after the leader of the troops today, General Petraeus,
yes,
they did a lot of collateral damage. Most of it was to themselves. I think they lost.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Congressman. I think this is going to backfire on them because, you know, it's one thing to attack the president. That he's an easy target. But to attack General Petraeus, who was as good as they come, and you probably know him much better than I do, and to not only to attack him, I understand asking probing questions, but that Lantos with that supercilious, superior accent and voice of his talking down to the general as though he were an usher in a movie theater cannot help the Democrat Party at all.
No, I think that's true. But now you notice one thing, Michael. This hearing went on for hours. We had about 100 members of Congress there. Typically, you can keep their attention for 20, 30 minutes, and they've got to have to go off and do something. Almost every member of Congress stayed there for longer than any hearing I've ever seen. This was important to him, and the quality and capability of Petraeus came through. Democrats
yes.
and Republicans got to the point where they listened to every single word that he gave. Nobody
yes.
got tired out. Nobody left the room. Nobody.
Oh, no, he was a hero. This guy, how he could take that punishment for that amount of hours shows what he's made of. You know, who was it who said duty, honor, and country to him when they were attacking him? Somebody said, was it Ike Skelton?
No, that was me.
That was you. Thank you. No, I thought Ike Skelton for a Democrat behaved very well. Incidentally, I thought he was very dignified. Now, you represent which district in Southern California, Congressman?
52nd, Michael. San Diego.
Maybe I should move down there. I don't have a representative. I live in a captured republic up here run by pseudo-Marxists and pseudo-intellectuals of the lowest order. Are you rerunning? Are you going to run for office again, Congressman Hunter? When would that be?
Oh, you know, I'm running for president, but you've got another Hunter running for my seat. His name is Marine Captain Duncan Hunter. He's in Afghanistan right now, and you know, Michael, he came back from doing two tours in Iraq, joined the day after 9/11, finished up 4 years in the Marines, got out. When I started to run for president, he came down to help me. he announced himself he was going to run for this seat, and 3 days later he got called back by the Marines. They called up 1,700 reservists. So he called them up. He said, I want to go tomorrow. And they said, well, you don't have to go till next February. He said, I want to go tomorrow because I can be back in November and I'm going to stay on the ballot. He's on the ballot for Congress in California, and he'll be back from Afghanistan in November. And you know something? It'll be good for this Congress to have a guy who's got combat experience in Iraq and Afghanistan in the U.S. Congress. And let me tell you, he's a better man than I am. He is a great guy.
And I assume he's related to you in some way.
He's just my son.
Well, I know how strong that bond is, and I tell you, I'm proud for you. This is beautiful. I would like to do a fundraiser for your son at any time that it's convenient for him, whether up here or down in the Los Angeles area. I will definitely go out of my way. I would donate my time, and I'll get my listeners to contribute money to him. We certainly need combat-experienced men in Congress rather than these Daisy BB gun people like Ackerman and Lantos, who made my stomach turn today. But Congressman Hunter, again, I want to thank you for having the dignity to put up with what you had to put up with today. And General Petraeus really did come out as the hero he really must be. And the people who attacked him looked terrible. And let's hope the American people get to see the truth. Congressman Duncan Hunter, thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Hey, many thanks, Michael.
Thank you. We'll go to break and come right back to take your calls. By the way, before we break, Drew, do we have the picture yet up of the Petraeus? Yes or no? Okay, on michaelsavage.com, so you don't miss it. I know we're running so late because this is the kind of show that runs, you know, according to the time. I don't know where it is, but it'll show up one day on my website. I want you to understand what a show trial is. The show trial of General Petraeus is what I call it. It's right out of the Soviet Union of the 1930s, where the public was led to believe the man was guilty before he even spoke. And it was led by a massive state media campaign, as we saw with the MoveOn.org ads calling him General Petraeus. And I put the ad up on michaelsavage.com, not because I agree with it, but so that you can see the kind of Soviet-level garbage that we have in the Democrat Party. I'll be back.
Savage.
I believe Iraq's problems will require a long-term effort. There are no easy answers or quick solutions. And although we both believe this effort can succeed, it will take time. Our assessments underscore, in fact, the importance of recognizing that a premature drawdown of our forces would likely have devastating consequences.
That is not Dianne Feinstein, who was denied a contract for a husband. That is not the sound of Barbara Boxer, who was denied a contract for a husband. That is not the sound of Nancy Pelosi, who was denied a contract for her family construction business.
And who will, throughout the
that is a member of an anti-American, anti-war group called Code Stink. And, of course, they were let in there by the Democrats, who have run, in their mind, a campaign against General Petraeus for well over 2 weeks now, undermining him in every way. But at the end of the day, the American people will decide. And if they're like me, they will decide that he is the winner and they are the losers. He is the shining knight and they are the horse manure that is trampled upon by the hooves. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
I'll show you. I'm going to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that God is a conservative. Watch. Here we go. Let's
I am the Lord your God who has taken you out of the land of Egypt from the house of slavery.
Let's stop right there. God said, I am the Lord your God. So right away, liberal says, who the hell are you to say you're God? What do you mean you're God? I'm God. Look what I made. I drink $200 bottles of wine. I have a plane. I have a limousine. You're not God. Who the hell are you? Okay, number two.
Two. You shall have no other gods but me.
Bing. Now, right away, that challenges the demigods wherever you turn. They're in the media. Every night they get up on the news. They're demigods. They don't like God because he says he's God. Who is he to say? They don't even know who he is. We're God. We are on the television set. Next.
Three. You shall not take the name of your Lord in vain. Four.
Now, let's stop right there. You can't curse? What are you talking about? Four.
You shall remember and keep the Sabbath day holy.
Stop right there. Sabbath day holy? You mean I can't golf? I can't make a living? What are you, out of your mind? Five.
Five. Honor your father and mother.
Let's stop right there. Who the heck are they? What do you mean father and mother? What's a father today? How do you define father? How do you define mother? It depends how you define mother. Today, families, according to Bill Clinton, are not father and mother. They could be, Rebecca has two mommies. Sammy has two daddies. What do you mean father and mother? Next.
Six. You shall not kill.
Are you kidding me? If I want to kill in Serbia, I want to kill a couple of thousand people. I'll kill. I got the Air Force. What are you talking about? Next.
Seven. You shall not commit adultery.
Ha! Goes without saying. What do you mean, shall not commit adultery? What's the point of being a politician? Next.
Eight. You shall not steal.
Ha! Are you kidding me? Where do you think the cattle future money came from? Next.
Nine. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor.
Are you kidding me? Next.
10. You shall not covet your neighbor's goods.
You shall not covet your neighbor's goods? How the heck can I run a country? How can I run a country if I can't make one neighbor covet the other neighbor's goods? If I couldn't turn the blacks against the whites, could I stay in office? If I could not make the Hispanics hate the blacks, could I stay in office? If I could not turn one person against the other by covetousness, could I stay in office a minute? Are you kidding me? So there it is, ladies and gentlemen. There are the Big Ten. And that proves beyond a reasonable doubt why liberals hate God and why God is a conservative. I rest my case.
Savage.
I have turned again to the Bible, as I do in the middle of the night when nothing else works, when no more HBO will work and no more viewing will work and, well, there's nothing left. You turn back to the old book. And I found something last night. It'll take about 30 seconds. It's from the section called Lamentations. It goes like this. And let's say you're an atheist. Listen to this, if you will, from the point of view of history. Because this went on then. It says, remember, Lord, what has come upon us. Behold and see our approach. Our inheritance is turned unto strangers. Our houses unto aliens. I almost fell out of my bed. Our inheritance is turned unto strangers. Our houses unto aliens. We labor and we have no rest. Then they go on, we have given the hand to Egypt and to Assyria. They were talking about then. Servants rule over us. There is none to deliver us out of their hand. We get our bread with the peril of our lives. It's unbelievable to me. It's unbelievable to me that this went on then, that when a nation starts to crumble, it starts to become weak and degenerate. They don't do their own labor, and this is what happens. And then for you women who are skeptical of the Bible, I'm not here to convert you to any religion. Trust me on that. And many of you think that the Bible is just for a patriarchal society and that women are downgraded or denigrated by the Bible. You're wrong about that. I found something for women in here that, again, had me gasping with its insights. And this is under, I don't even know how to pronounce it, Malachi, M-A-L-A-C-H-I. I had an Irish friend by that name. I don't even know it was a Jewish name, Malachi. I thought it was Malarkey, but it's Malachi. Malachi, I don't even know. I don't know how to pronounce it because I'm not a biblical scholar. I'm an average guy with a book. Malachi, okay. But listen to this one. It's for women. It's a shorty. And he's talking about God doesn't listen to people anymore. And people are saying to God, why don't you listen to us? What have we done wrong? And God says, why? Because the Lord has been a witness of what you've done between you and the wife of thy youth. Between you and the wife of thy youth. against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Though she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. So you see that there's a lot here for women as well. And that's why the next time you want to spit at a Bible-loving Christian or Jew, the next time you want to mock the Catholic Church, the next time you want to bring down the entire edifice of religion, understand it is only religion that stands between you and utter chaos. That's all that you've got left. Of course there is corruption within churches, within synagogues, because they are institutions of man, not of God.
Yeah. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
I am man-child in the promised land, millions of years of evolution, thousands of years of repression. And my grandfather was the immigrant, and I knew my father was the immigrant, too. It was all on my back to make it or break it in America. I knew what was expected of me. And so as I went through life as a youngster, and I realized I wasn't a good memorizer, while other kids were better memorizers, I knew that I still had something that wasn't being called forth in school. And I knew there was something better in me than just memorizing facts and spitting them out. Anyway, long and short of it was, I killed myself. I got a great 2 master's degrees. I did heroic things and got a PhD, all being told by rat bums in the professorial class that PhD would be my union card to getting a job in the universities. Well, lo and behold, as time came, the very same liberals who had led me on to killing myself for that PhD then closed the door in my face, and they said, white males need not apply. All of a sudden, they were hiring women with far less qualifications, minorities with far less qualifications, and they basically said, I remember reading it in 1982, the ACLU said that white men will simply have to put their lives on hold to give others a chance. Well, I wanted to kill somebody because of that. I literally wanted to murder somebody for what they thought they had the power to tell me that I should put my life on hold. Well, I struggled. I struggled the best I could with 2 young children. Nobody would hire me. Now, I want to tell you, I had a almost straight A average out of Berkeley. I'd written 7 books at the time. I don't want to go through it anymore. I don't want to relive it. And every door, hundreds of universities said no to me. I contemplated ending my life. I couldn't take the shame. I couldn't take the humiliation of being a loser after I had done so much. And then I discovered certain things. In the darkness, I discovered certain light. And I discovered a million different things. I can't go into it right now. I used every possible avenue known to mankind to overcome those impulses. I wrote in journals. In fact, I have a carton somewhere called Suicidal Ideations, wrapped up in a box in a warehouse tied in string. I've never opened them up. I put them away when it was all over, and it went on for a while. But the thing that prevented me from finally hurting myself in that way, there were many things, was the idea that I had children who I would curse unto the third generation by showing them that they had a weak father and weak lineage, and I wouldn't do it. I also came to understand spiritually that there is a God in heaven and that there's a plan in heaven and that God owns me, I don't own me, and that suicide is the greatest crime you can commit. It's a greater crime than homicide, in case you don't know it, for those of you who think you own your own bodies. And I said, no, I'm not going to play God with myself. Moreover, I came to understand life is the blink of an eye, in the blink of an eye disappears anyway. I mean, who am I to have the hubris to say life is so intolerable in America, where I get 3 square meals a day? I have a roof over my head. What, boo-hoo-hoo? I didn't become rich and famous overnight? It's also one of the biggest ego trips on earth, suicide, by the way. I don't know if you know that either. Don't have such sympathy for those who try suicide. Give them a little Dutch uncle. They'd be better off. if you said, you know what, don't play so God with yourself, and you're not so important. What are you trying to send a message? Send the message in a positive way. There's 100 different ways to treat these things other than the way they're being treated in America with boo-hoo-hoo. Mr. Smith, how do you feel? What can we do for you? You know, a little slap in the face and slapping him around and throwing cold water in the face wouldn't hurt either at the right time. You see, the liberals think that they own pain. The liberals think that they own depression. The liberals think they own suicide. The liberals think they own feeling. What they don't understand is that conservatives have overcome all of those things. And that we feel the same things they do, only we fight them because we're not weak, we're strong. And one of the dividing lines between liberals and conservatives is not that we don't feel the same things. We do. We're all human. It's how you deal with those feelings and how you deal with those ideas. As I said, I've met thousands of religious men in my life, devoutly religious men, and they love me for one reason. They said, you're a man of the earth. You understand us. You may not be a religious man yourself, but you walk with us as a spiritual brother because you understand what we go through every day. You think they're not tempted the way the liberal is tempted? You think they don't have the same desires, fears, feelings, temptations as liberals? They do, but they don't act on them, do they? And the whole difference here between the liberal and the conservative is that the liberal lets it all hang out. If it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? And it leads, of course, to drugs and a dissipated lifestyle and then suicide in one way or another. The conservative may be led down the same roads and may go down the same roads from time to time or never come back from them. But the conservative understands that those are human impulses and human thoughts and feelings. And his job, his obligation as a man, is to fight them, not to give in to them. To fight them, not to give in to them. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I'm talking to you like your family today.
Savage.
If you were an amateur student of history, and you were living in the 17th century, you would have come to the conclusion probably that it was only a question of a few centuries before the whole of Europe and Asia would fall under not Arab but Mongolian domination. There were no signs of any Arabian expansion at that time. You would have been afraid of the Mongolian invasion at that time. And then suddenly something happened, something that no one had ever seen before, not for 1,000 years. No Semitic people had founded an empire for 1,000 years. Then suddenly, out of nowhere, the Bedouin flared up for one century of phenomenal splendor. And the Bedouin spread their rule and language from Spain to the boundaries of China. And with it, they brought the world a new culture. And they created a religion that is still to this day one of the most vital religions on earth. The man who did this was named Muhammad. And I'm not going to go into the history of Muhammad. I believe that to those of you who are more interested. But this 100 years is very interesting. The great days of the Arabs, as I said, saw a Bedouin flare up and spread out from the regions of, from Spain into the boundaries of China. And it was one of the most amazing stories of military conquest in the history of the human race. The Byzantine army was smashed by the Arabs at the Battle of the Yarmouk. In 634, that's a tributary of Jordan. Next, they conquered Syria, Damascus, Palmyra, Antioch, Jerusalem, and the rest, and they fell without any resistance whatsoever to the Muslim invasion. Those nations were not at that time Muslim, and most elements in the population went over to Islam. Then the Muslim armies turned east, and they went to Persia, now known as Iran. Persia at that time was not Muslim. They had a great general, the Iranians of those time, the Persians, called Rustam. They had a great force of elephants. And for 3 days they fought the Arabs at Qadizia. And then their army broke and they ran. And Persia was conquered. Persia was converted to Islam. Then the Muslim Empire pushed into the western Turkestan region. They pushed east until it met the Chinese. Egypt was not Muslim. And then Egypt fell without resistance to the new Muslim conquerors, the Arab conquerors, and full of their fanatical belief in the sufficiency of their book, the Quran, wiped out the vestiges of the book copying industry of the Alexandria Library. They sacked it. Then the Muslims turned along the north coast of Africa to the Straits of Gibraltar and Spain. Spain was invaded in 710 The Pyrenees Mountains were reached in 720. In 732, the Arabs had reached the center of France. Pay attention. But here the Arabs were stopped for good at the Battle of Poitiers and pushed back as far as the Pyrenees again, not by reason, but by steel. Egypt gave the Muslims a large seagoing fleet of ships. And for a long while, it looked like they would take Constantinople. But although the Arabs made repeated sea attacks with the captured Egyptian fleet, the great city held out against them. All you have to know is that this has happened before. It's happening again. Once again, Islam has conquered half of Europe, only this time they've done it without firing a shot. This time they did it through the Trojan horse of liberalism, a mental disorder. This time they have done it by using the guise of simply seeking salvation in Christian Europe, when we know, in fact, they want to take over Europe and convert it to Islam. It may be something quite different by the time your children are your age. The only question is, what is America going to be by the time your children are your age? The only question is, when are you going to awaken to the fact that we too are being invaded through a Trojan horse of liberalism, of compassion, of asylum, and primarily through the tool of immigration, which is out of control, Jackson.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
There are people on Earth who spend every waking minute trying to figure out how to kill us, harm us, and destroy other people. Their entire life, from the morning they wake up until they go to sleep at night, is how to kill, how to maim, how to hurt, and how to humiliate other people. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. We have a nation that spends millions of dollars to keep an alcoholic stew bum alive if he should trip and break his hand in the streets. EMS, the ambulances, and Mr. Smith, and how are you, and rush him to the hospital and around, get the oxygen, and there he is. Every life is precious. You know, hundreds of thousands of dollars later, and there's the bum in the street puking on himself again 3 weeks later. Every life is precious, but at what cost, I ask myself. It's like everyone votes. Yeah, that really makes sense to me. It sure does. That's why we get the kind of leaders we have. Everyone votes. Like, there are certain rules I would establish as to why everyone shouldn't vote. Like, let's start with an IQ test. That would be the minimum. Okay, number one, speak English. You can't speak English, you don't vote. That means you don't know what's going on. You have no right to be in the country to begin with, but you don't want to learn a language. Then you don't have the right to vote. That's A. B, an IQ test. Minimum 100. Okay, 100 IQ should be the breaking point. Number three, you're on welfare, you don't vote. Because you're only going to vote yourself a raise at the expense of those who are paying your salary. Okay? You lose the privileges that you had before you went on public assistance. That might save America right there. But then I think about life, man. You know, everything is so precious. And then we got people on this earth, radical Islamists. I never really encountered this in studying history going back perhaps until a time in history of Attila the Hun, who, let's say, ransacked every city and killed everyone in the city that he invaded. But to be facing an enemy of such barbarism is hard to believe for a society that is so, you would say, evolved, but it's actually quite barbaric itself. We in the West are living in a sort of post-Christian barbarism. Now, that's a very interesting topic that I wanted to get to. But the sexual liberation movement, the progressives, let's start with the progressives. What do they advocate? Sexual liberation. What has it led to? Homosexuality, transsexuality, bisexuality, abortion on demand, round-the-clock pornography, soft drugs, euthanasia for anyone who's not perfect. And so, therefore, we are living in this postmodern liberalism, which has become, in essence, a form of cultural barbarism. Under the guise of tolerance and acceptance, we are actually a barbaric civilization. And all of the traditions that we grew up with are being steamrolled over by these cultural degenerates. Abortions become the norm. Divorce becomes the norm. Pornography is acceptable. drugging yourself is acceptable, being a single mother is acceptable, teenage sluts is acceptable, bisexuality, homosexuality, transsexuality are considered lifestyle choices, and now the Dutch want to go a step further. It's not enough that they have sex museums and sex clubs. It's not enough that whores advertise their bodies in storefront windows. It's not enough that marijuana is legal. No, that's not good enough. It's not good enough that euthanasia is rampant in Holland going down to the age of 12. What are the last frontiers for the cultural degenerate barbarians? It's child pornography and engaging in pedophilia. A new group, a new party called Charity, Freedom, and Diversity, with emphasis on the last word, because I've told you for years, I was the first one to tell you in my first book, The Savage Nation, that diversity is a code word for perversity. The newly formed Charity, Freedom, and Diversity Party advocates reducing the legal age for sex from 16 to 12. The Dutch pedophiles are also demanding that child pornography and sex with animals should be legal. They also said that citizens should be allowed to go naked in public. And their party platform is, we're going to shake The Hague awake. Now, their ultimate goal is to abolish any limits on the legal age for sex with any child at any age. Their argument is that a ban just makes children curious. This is the world in collapse. This is the West in collapse. This is the world that we are trying to make sense out of. It is impossible to make sense out of a cultural barbarism of this kind. And so when you hear the word progressive, or when you hear the word diversity, you've got to understand who is behind it. And you've got to understand what you're fighting for. And you've got to understand that this is connected to the rise of radical Islam throughout the West. They are absolutely part and parcel of the same exact situation. Now, let me explain that in more detail for those of you who want to hear it. How do I relate the rise of radical Islam with its restrictions, with its throwback mentality, and with its hatred and its murderous nature with the progressive movement in the West? It's quite simple. You have to think about biology to understand it. You have to think of the AIDS virus, which is symptomatic, actually symbolic, rather, of what I'm talking about. The AIDS virus is actually quite symbolic. It's a retrovirus, and it invades the body, but it doesn't really cause an infection for a while. It lays in wait. And while it lays in wait, the retrovirus, the HIV virus, it starts to attack the immune system itself. And only after the immune system itself is weakened can infections arise within the human being that has been infected with the HIV virus. This is what liberalism is. Liberalism is, in essence, the HIV virus. And it weakens the defense cells of a nation. What are the defense cells of a nation? Well, the church. They've attacked particularly the Catholic Church for 30 straight years. The police attacked for the last 50 straight years by the ACLU viruses. And the military attacked for the last 50 years by the Barbara Boxer viruses on our planet. And so when they weaken our defense cells, what happens is the opportunistic infections arise because our surveillance is not permitted. The reaction of our white blood cells is diminished because they're not permitted to react because they've been weakened by the liberal virus. And consequently, infections arise. So what are these infections? Well, you can name many of them. Now enter the arise of radical Islam into the Western world. How does that fit in? It is a counterpoint. It's actually part of God's plan, as I see it. I know this is shocking. Many of you can't follow where I'm going, but I'll go where I have to go in order to traverse through this jungle of thought. This is all part and parcel of God's plan. God is saying to us in the West, I have given you the Garden of Eden. I have given you the milk and the honey that is promised in the Bible. And you have despoiled the land I have given you. You have destroyed and despoiled the Garden of Eden that I have given you. And so therefore, what I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce an element into this Garden of Eden so that you can see there are consequences to your behavior. And they are going to kill you. They're going to cut your throats. They're going to keep doing this until you realize how far you have gone astray. That's how I see it. It's amazing. But I mean, many of you don't want to accept this. Many of you want to think that radical Islam has arisen in a vacuum. It hasn't risen in a vacuum. It is arising as a counterpoint to the cultural barbarism of the West. Make no mistake about it. Yes, you can also include territorial expansionism, if you wish, meaning the desire for Islam to sweep across the planet as it had once done before when it conquered two-thirds of the planet through the sword and through the flame and through throat cutting. They're just doing it again, only this time they're achieving it not so much with the sword and the flame, but with the very techniques of liberalism that are in place in our societies that have gulled us and made us lay down our normal weapons of survival. Through the sword of tolerance, through the sword of acceptance, through the sword of liberalism, if you want to put it in that category, the radical Islamic movement is causing the greatest upheaval in our society and our Western societies that has been seen since the Industrial Revolution. We are going through, in essence, a radical religious revolution. And either the people in the West come to understand that they're going to disappear, their children will certainly not survive, or their grandchildren won't be here as we know it. They will not be here. If you take the arc we are on, and you see the kind of leadership that we don't have, and you see the kind of appeasement going on from our so-called hawkish leaders, I see a very terrible prognosis for our children.
Savage.
I went out on my boat with a group of friends, three couples and two dogs, to watch the arrival on our bay, San Francisco Bay, of the warships. It's called the Parade of Ships. Your captain, Michael Savage, timed it just perfectly. I allowed exactly 31 minutes from departure time from my dock to the bridge. And just as we hit the bridge, we heard on the channel where they were. They were a mile out, and there they were. And there they came, and there they came in such noble glory, led, of course, by the aircraft carrier. It was so astonishing to be on a small craft and watch seven ships from our fleet come in under the Golden Gate Bridge with all of the young kids, the naval guys, and the girls up on the deck in their colors, standing there at attention. It was so beautiful. But here comes the best part. The best part is yet to come. I had been on an aircraft carrier, as you know, last spring, courtesy of the U.S. Navy, the Stennis. And I watched the F-A-18 Hornets take off and land. And I was just knocked out by the genius of our young men who fly those ships. The young men that our vermin in the media will never show you. The young men that our vermin in the media hide. Instead, they show you the junkies and the perverts on a daily basis. The junkies, the perverts, the quislings, the sex change artists, the sex maniacs, glorified by the vermin who run the media. But never do you see the young men who fly those F-A-18s. Well, anyway, we're on the boat, bobbing around out there, holding our place, being shepherded back off to a safe distance by the Coast Guard, doing a great job. They were like the German shepherds of the water. I mean, they were zipping back and forth, making sure we kept our distance, as they should. But we were still close enough, maybe 1,000 yards. I don't know how close we were. But there was something odd about the aircraft carrier as she was steaming in. That was that the jets, a couple of the jets, had their engines on. And I said, what the heck are the jets lit for? Why are these jets lit as she's entering San Francisco Bay? Well, we learned soon enough why. Because out of the blue, kaboom, one of the jets launched off the deck right in the middle of San Francisco Bay. I started to jump like a kid who had seen a train crushing a penny on a railroad track, but one wasn't enough. Here came number two. Boom, went the next jet right in the middle of San Francisco Bay. I had never seen F-A-18 Hornets launched from a carrier deck in the middle of a municipal harbor until that day, and I got to tell you something, I was very impressed. But having said that, I wish we'd use some of these planes. Having said that, I wish we'd use one of these aircraft carriers. Having said that, I wish we'd use the genius and the daring of our sailors and launch these ships, get them out into the South China Sea, launch some of the planes, launch missiles, do whatever you have to do, Mr. Bush. Take down the pot-bellied pigs' launch towers. You can do it with conventional weapons. You don't need anyone's permission. I don't care about the rotten sneakers and the cheap basketballs. I don't care about the knives, and I don't care about the shoes. I don't care about the raincoats, and I don't care about the cheap dog food. I don't care about the cheap kidneys, and I don't care about the cheap currency. Mr. Bush, show yourself to be a leader, Mr. Bush. Knock out the pot-bellied pigs' launching towers now. Show him that there is a meaning to the word superpower. Show him that the meaning of the flag, don't tread on me, has meaning. Show him that America still has balls, Mr. Bush. Stop acting like a weakling, Mr. Bush. The people are screaming, Mr. Bush, for leadership, Mr. Bush. It's not enough to talk, Mr. Bush. You need to act, Mr. Bush. Get Rice out of there. Put a man in there. Launch the ships, Mr. Bush. Take down the pot-bellied pigs towers, Mr. Bush, is what America is screaming for. And don't make any mistake about it.
America is screaming for a military strike against North Korea. I don't mean nuclear. Let's be very clear about this. We are not talking about a nuclear strike. It's unnecessary. We are talking about conventional weaponry taking down his launch sites. Don't say to me you don't know where they are. He launched missiles into the Pacific 3 months ago. The very next day I said we should have taken down the missile launch sites. What happened? Nothing. Secretary of Nothing was sent out there, the school mom. She did nothing. She is incompetent. She is supine. She is laughable. She is only important to herself and her staff. And I say that unless America starts to show itself to be a world leader again, we're going to lose this leadership position that was built over centuries with the blood of our ancestors. Built over centuries with the blood of our ancestors inherited by a group of people that I have to tell you I have no respect for. I don't know how to put it to you any other way. Every day I wake up and the news gets worse. Every day I see more statements and no activity and no action. Every day I fear for the future of this country. Every day I see them saying one thing and doing another. Every day I see another government official leaving office and going to work for the enemy. Every day I see the very same government officials on these television shows telling us why it's good to screw America. Every day I pray for the arrival on the scene of a man on white horseback. Every day I pray for a man who loves America more than he loves his party. Every day I pray for God to bless America.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
You know, I'm a trained biologist, so permit me to digress for a moment. I was reading various internet stories about an introduced species of fish that was introduced into an ecosystem. They brought it from some foreign country to kill something or other, and it wound up devouring all of the native species of fish and took over the entire lake. And then I was thinking about radical Islam as a sort of, it's certainly not a different species, but it's a different species of religion than any we've ever seen. And it's devouring all other religions around the planet. It cannot cooperate, you see, with any other religion. It says, you do it our way or we kill you. That's all. Simple. So it's sort of the piranha fish of religions. The radical Islamists practice a piranha-like religion. Let's put it to you that way, now that we're developing the idea a little bit more. But I'll go back to the biological story for you again. Let us say you have a body of water, a fairly large one. And there are many species of fish and fowl and various plants in there. And then you introduce a strange type of fish from, let us say, Egypt. And the reason you do so is because you're an environmentalist and you don't want to use toxic sprays to kill, let's say, mosquitoes. So you bring in a type of fish from Egypt because you read somewhere in a book while you were getting your master's degree from Duquesne a community college before you were hired by the state of Michigan, for example, because you're a dummy and you couldn't get any other jobs, so you took a job for the government. So the dummy says, I read about this and it killed the mosquitoes in Egypt. Let's bring it in. And you bring it in, you put it in the lake, and you wake up 2 years later and almost all the other species of fish are killed. And this one has proliferated and taken over the lake. That's exactly what's going on in America today as a result of illegal immigration. And illegal immigration is tied to radical Islam, directly tied there, tied at the hip. Had the doors to America not been taken off the hinges by Bill Clinton under Doris Meisner, the INS chief, because I remember her name. I remember her so well. Because for years I railed against her. I thought she should be jailed for what she was doing to America back in the early 90s when I started in radio. I said, take her out of the INS, commissioner. I said, she's killing America. She's letting too many flood in. She's bringing in particularly too many Middle Easterners who will wind up destroying us. Nothing was done. In fact, Bush came along. We prayed he would be better. He's much worse on immigration, far worse. Whereas Bill Clinton pulled the door to Mexico and the rest of the world open, Bush unscrewed the hinges and threw the door into the Gulf of Mexico. Now, I am telling you as I sit here, and I don't really give a rat's behind if anyone is insulted.
radical Islam is incompatible with the rest of the world. And I want to know why. I want to know what it is about Islam itself, the Quran itself, that permits so many people to misinterpret it and become suicide bombers. What is it about this religion? I mean, if I read the Old Testament, nowhere does it say I should kill my neighbor if he doesn't practice my religion. If I read the New Testament, the Christian Bible, nowhere in that Bible does it say kill a Buddhist if he doesn't become a Christian. If I read Hindu tractates, nowhere does it say kill Buddhists if they don't become Hindus. And if I read the beautiful, lyrical poetry of Buddhism, nowhere does it say kill the others if they do not become Buddhists. There is only one piranha religion on the planet. That piranha religion will kill all of us unless we stop it cold now. Stop it cold now where there's no nation left. And I don't need anyone in the media to confirm what I'm saying. I need to confirm what they're thinking. They don't need to confirm what I'm saying because they don't have an idea what the heck they're talking about.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Savage.